If we could see in real time the effects of our thoughts, people would be very different. So if you are not actively working on yourself, you've lost the plot. You've lost the point. And a lot of people who are outside will think, no, that's selfish to work on yourself. And I understand that because I used to think that too. When I was at some point on my journey, I was an activist. I was really interested in making change, but all the ways that I was doing it, marching and going to protests and all these things, they weren't doing anything. Nothing was happening. I was just angry and I was spewing that anger everywhere, okay? So I'm not saying that protesting is wrong. Maybe that's right for some people at some point on their journey, but there is a time where you understand that if you're not working on yourself, you're putting out hate into the world instead of healing.
You just heard today's guest, healer and metaphysical practitioner, who joins me, Mystic Mark, here on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this conversation with Jada Vittoria. Time, although we'll get into their new alias, if I can call it that, their new personage, Jada. You're throwing me for a loop. I got it right the first two times, I thought. Now we're going over. Jada Vittoria is joining us on the show. Thank you for coming back to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast. I hope I pronounced your name right, similar to the previous one, but different. So I'm excited to learn about the transformation and what this represents, at least the name and all that entails. So welcome back. How have you been?
Thank you so much for having me back a third time. Lucky me. I've been well. I think the last time we spoke, I was in France. I was in the south of France on my Mary Magdalene pilgrimage, and I was about to go to Lourdes, also in the south of France. Oh, there's this big spider right there. And now I'm in Bali, which is wonderful. So since I've seen you, I've been in Italy as well. So yeah, I've been on a huge journey. I think my life is very intense, such that like in a month's time, I've been to, you know, several different countries and through a lot of transformation. So I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that. And thank you for asking me. This is not a position I'm putting on my podcast often, but likewise, as far as transformation goes.
Yeah.
Likewise. I mean, you know, because of our conversations, you know, they weren't that long ago. So yeah, it's been a lot of that momentum that was, I think, just starting to roll down the hill. Now we're further down the hill and things are going good, you know, aside from the car accident that happened. Let's see, it was about a week and a half ago, or maybe a week or more now, 2 weeks possibly. I don't know what that says about my state of mind that I can't remember what day it was, but not my fault. Someone hit me. And so as the American capitalist system goes, we are going to have some money in my pocket from his insurance company to get a better car. And it's a car that I've been manifesting, really, truthfully. I feel confident enough to say that now, although I probably wouldn't in the past out of superstition. But yeah, so things have been going really good. But tumultuously good, I guess.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're in an accident. I'm glad you're okay.
I'm okay.
And it makes sense that it happened in the eclipse window. The two eclipse cycles of the year are the most two energetically intense portals that we have all year. So this is a time where this type of thing will often happen. And like you said, a lot of transformation. This is the time where that's the most potential for that type of thing to happen. So this is one of the reasons I always start or host my group containers over eclipse cycles, because there's just so much like raw energy for transformation. And when we can utilize that and work with it, then, we're working with the raw material for our intentionally with our own personal power versus just letting it basically like drag us around. So, and that's a really interesting way to manifest a new car is to manifest an accident, right? But it's interesting. And just so you know, my teacher says whenever we get in a car accident, we always thank the car because the car took the karma that would have hit us and let us to be safe. So maybe you've already done that, but just for the listeners.
Yeah, no, I was singing this car's praises the whole way home. I was so proud of this car. It's still out, but I can still see it out my window. I'm taking care of it. I love that
Can
car.
you still drive it, or is it like totaled?
In the eyes of the law, it's totaled because the airbag flew out, but
Oh, wow.
in my eyes, it still was driven after the airbag. So. But now I have a rental car for the time being, so we're safe.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay, good.
But yeah,
Yeah, very
we're
interesting.
riding fast and loose. But that is funny to hear that, and it totally tracks with my experience this year with the Equinox. So okay, so not the Equinox, sorry, the eclipses is what I meant to say.
Yeah, well, it was extra potent because we had the eclipse on the equinox date, which that hasn't happened in 10 years. And I think it's going to be another 30 years before it happens again. So it's very rare, but we have this really energetically potent time of the eclipse and then this super energetically potent and powerful time of the equinox, and they're happening on the same day. So, and if it was, it sounds like the accident was around that day as well. So does make sense. It's a lot of energy and it's very cool. I was so resistant against astrology, and I even did a report in college in my public speaking class about how astrology isn't real. And I was always very against it, because one of the reasons is because every time I met an astrologer and they saw my chart, they would be like, "Oh no." Yeah, they would be like, "This is a really bad chart. And, has your life been really difficult? It's going to continue to be really difficult." And so obviously, I didn't want to, buy into that. But those astrologers were just not very good astrologers, because a good astrologer wouldn't speak in those terms, because but then when I did my yogic training and got my Kundalini yoga certification, I started learning a lot about astrology just through osmosis, because yoga and astrology are so linked. And so I was just learning, and it was so resonant. And I understood that it's not anything set in stone. It's like a map to your personality and your life, and it's not fixed at all. And so you can use it as a teaching. And so to see parts of your personality, and it should be that you're changing. And I'm not an astrologer, but I've come to find out how powerful it is. And when you look at certain events in your life and you can see what was happening either on the global transits astrologically or in your own chart, you'll see like, oh, damn, yeah, that totally tracks. And so it's really interesting. And so there's a phrase, millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. And it's because when you work with the energy, you can really maximize it. And so really, if you think about it, it's just smart. It's just intelligent to use astrology. Like, why wouldn't you use the powers or the currents that are already working to support, like, when you're going to launch something or have a difficult conversation or what have you?
It's the same logic, like, we were to go out for an outdoor lunch, we wouldn't go on a rainy day. You know, we
Exactly.
need to be in harmony with our environment, just like we're in, you know, we need to be in harmony with our astral environment or our, you know, celestial environment. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think a lot of people get caught up in the tabloid version of astrology, and that can be useful to some extent. I mean, it's definitely useful in relationships, and I appreciate that most women know their sign, but I don't think women have that same, I don't know. I mean, everybody knows their birthday, but like their chart, right? Like rising sign, moon sign, like most women know, but most men don't, right? So it's a little
It's
bit,
true.
it's, you know, it's an advantage I have knowing that in some respect. But to get us back on track, you were getting into the equinox, or I do it again, the eclipses and their energy, and you yourself going through this transformational period. What did that entail? What happened? What's going on for you? I mean, my car accident was not enough to have me change my name, but I do feel very different after that car accident. It's strange, but tell us about this. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so for me, it's definitely my name change came much more than with just the eclipse cycle. For me, it was a several years long process. And probably starting in like winter of 2023, I started going through a really intense death and rebirth cycle and series of death and rebirth cycles. And I was very, very sick. I had been living in Mexico the prior year, and I had gotten very, very sick from just the conditions there. It's very unsanitary, unfortunately, to be living there. And so I got really, really sick. And so, in my process of healing, I went through a tremendous spiritual experience and was basically nearly dead. I ended up seeing a healer that my teacher recommended to me, who's like underground, has been in the business of, he's a medical doctor, but he's a spiritual doctor, and he's been in the business of healing people from diseases that have no cure. I'm in air quotes for the people who can't see us, for 55 years. And I went to see him in New York, and when he saw me, he looked at me and he said, you're barely alive, you're almost dead. And I felt so validated by that, because I had been seeing doctors in my local area where I was in Vermont, who were like, I don't know, there's nothing wrong, we're fine. And I was like, very clearly very sick. So it was really difficult for me. But finally seeing him and him being able to see, and he was like, in my 55 years, you're one of the worst cases I've ever had. And he didn't let me leave before giving me all of these herbal injections and other things, which saved my life. And it was several months of work I did with him, driving back and forth from Vermont to New York. And over that time, I began to really cultivate a deep relationship with death. And before that time, I had been basically evading death my whole life up until then. I have ha had so many experiences where I should have been dead, but something narrowly missed me. Like a lot of near-death experiences I had had my whole life, but I hadn't wanted to really dive into that because it's hard, it's difficult, it's very intense, right? I kind of wanted to just like not deal with that. And so I didn't. And then this brought me to the point where I really had to, and really had to see, like, why has death been stalking me my whole life? And why have I been going through this? And so I started to, just before I saw this doctor, I started to feel the frequency of death in my body, like a foreign entity inside me. And that was really interesting and alarming. I started to feel like my blood slowing down. We shouldn't normally feel our blood, but I could like feel it, and it was like it would like pool down towards my feet, was the feeling. And it was very, very interesting, intense time that I'll hopefully be able to describe once I finish my book. But I really was confronted with like, okay, now you have to deal with this. Now you can't pretend that death hasn't been stalking you your whole life. You have to figure out why. You have to figure out, your relationship with death. And so at this point, I have always been deeply connected with Saint Francis. And at this point, I started to connect with Sora La Morte, who is Sister Death, who is the one who Saint Francis speaks about in his famous Canticle of the Creature prayer slash song, and started to build that relationship. And I would wake up every day and be in so much pain. And I was like, I had to decide every day, do I want to live today, or am I going to just let death take me? And I ultimately did decide to live, as you see me here, living and breathing in front of you. And that was sort of like the beginning of this 2 year transformation. And then I did start to get better. I started to build this relationship with death. And, as I believe we spoke about on the last pod when I talked about Sorella Sancta and my work with people who are dying, this is when that started to come in. And I started to realize and really understand that I could and was able to walk in both worlds and had this death priestess inside of me, and was finally willing to explore that. And so that was sort of the beginning of it. And then cut to this past Easter, I was again in a very similar situation, and again I had to go deeper and see like why did death want me? Because again I knew that I was dying. By the way, all of this time I'm working with clients and they're healing. And they're having powerful transformations and they're having powerful movements of grace and all this stuff. So, which I think is quite interesting. And I wasn't talking about this, it was just such a deeply personal experience. This is the first time I'm talking about it publicly. So this last April, again, I was going through the same thing and I was working with someone to support this. And I started to do this practice of doing death ceremonies for myself. And it was very intense, as you can imagine. It was like going to your own funeral. And for this like month and a half period, I was doing this once a week, very intense death practices for myself, by myself. And I started to feel like truly I had died and I was this new person, and I was in this void for a few months. Like I wasn't Jaya anymore, but I also wasn't anything else new. And so I was just in this void space, this like cocoon, if you will, like the butterfly is no longer the caterpillar, but not the butterfly, and doesn't know even that what the butterfly might be. The caterpillar doesn't know that that's going to happen, right? And so I was in this very, very void state. And even like when people would say my name, I would not really resonate with it anymore, which is interesting because this is what happened when I became Jaya versus my birth name. The same kind of thing happened. I just was like, didn't feel right anymore. And so I was just, in my practice, in my prayer, in my meditation, just sort of like waiting for the movement that would come next. And I did finally overcome. Death is no longer after me, let's just say, after this deep process that I did over Easter time. And then in August, after being in France all summer and spending my every day with Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary in very, very intense communion with them, learning from them, healing with them. At the end of August, I went to Assisi, Italy, which is the birthplace of Saint Francis and also the death place. This is where his body is. This is my favorite place on earth. And there I was in a workshop with my teacher. I'm in a 3-year advanced program for advanced healers. And he, of course, didn't know any of this. I didn't share any of this with him, but I asked him. It was like I wasn't even asking him for my personality. It just like came through me. I just went up to him and asked him, like, I was like, I need a rebirth. And he was like, okay. And so we go through this whole week-long workshop and doing all these healings for people. And then at the very last minute, on the very last day, he calls me up and he's like, Jaya, it's time for your rebirth. And so, with all of the My fellow healers and beautiful people who I've been in this work with for many years, they gave me a rebirth ceremony. And at the end, he was like, where's Jada? And I was like, who is Jada? And I didn't know he meant me. And he was looking around and he's like, come here. And he's like, Jaya is gone. You are Jada Vittoria. And when he said it, it was like every cell in my body just knew it was true. It was like when you hear something for the first time that you didn't know you've been waiting to hear for a long time, and it's just like the information that you need. So it was a very deep level that he was speaking to me, and he was like, I don't name people. This is not a name I'm giving you. This is coming directly from God. This is who you are now. And I was just like, I don't even think I spoke, but inside myself, it was like all these movements were happening, this unfurling was happening. And I hadn't told anyone about the funerals and all this whole process I had been through. I hadn't told anyone. And yet, I hadn't told anyone that I didn't resonate with my name anymore. And yet, this came directly from the field. And he said, Jada means jade in Italian. And Vittoria means victory, and Jaya also means victory. So this is like a new iteration. And I was just like, okay. And of course, my ego was like, a new name. Now I have to change all my materials. And everyone's going to be like, she got a new name and all this stuff, But it doesn't really matter what anybody thinks, because this is just the movement that my life has taken after this profound transformation. And so,
It's funny, I thought I was getting like an intrusive thought a moment ago, and I started thinking about like green and black stones, and I told you about the project I'm working on, so I'm like, oh, stop thinking about that. But then you say Jada means jade, and I'm like, oh, wow, because it was right when you were sort of getting into that. So yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. Jade, that's a It suits you, especially with the Italian flair to it, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you. And then just before that, I was feeling like I wanted to have a business name separate from my name. I've never had a business name. It's always just been my name. And when I was in France, and I was at Lourdes, which is the site of the most recorded miracles in the world. And this is where Mother Mary was seen by Saint Bernadette, and she said, I am the Immaculate Conception, which brought forth this whole dogma of the Immaculate Conception, which essentially is just to say that it's like sort of the Catholic version of alchemy, right? To say that we have to bring the immaculate space within ourselves, or the alchemical space within ourselves, in order to be the pure place where the enlightenment can be birthed. And now the pure place does not have anything to do with being free from sin or anything like this. It simply means the act of purifying ourself with the inner fire. And so, in addition to, so the new business name is called Immaculata Healing, because Mother Mary is my biggest patron and has done the most transformation through me. And so, this is like when I do healing with people, it's the same process. It's the process of that alchemy. And I also just want to say, because I forgot to mention it before, that doing this death and rebirth process that I have been through so intensely is something. Sorella Sancta is not just to help people die who are ready to die in their lives at the end of their life, but it's also for people who want to do a death and rebirth process, not physically, but alchemically and spiritually and emotionally. So if anyone is interested in that process, that is something that I am honored to guide people through in a very real and lived way, not from some like weekend course I got online, but from actually like living that experience myself, and how to walk in both of those worlds and bring someone through from who they are now into the fire of the alchemy safely, and then out to the other side and a rebirth. So this is something that I'm doing with people now.
Yeah. This is so exciting to talk about. It's definitely, as we mentioned, with the eclipses, ripe for this kind of transformative energetic exchange. So, yeah, I'm very curious to understand your lens of alchemy because through this podcast, my thoughts and opinions, perspectives on things have changed tremendously. And, alchemy is one of those things that a lot of people know about, but very few people know truly what it is. And when I say a lot of people know about it, I mean in this podcast community. Because in general, most people probably have only heard the word in a sort of artistic sense, where it's used with artistic license in like the name of a business or something. Coffee shops or pottery studios or something like a yoga shop, something like that. So I don't know that many people have a deep understanding of alchemy, even people who profess to know what it is. So, yeah, as somebody who's clearly been through some tremendous, depths within your own personal journey, we've talked about some of that in our first two conversations, but to have gone through this now, one thing that comes to mind when you talk about death and rebirth, but not physically, is what I learned early on in my journey from one of my first mentors, really, about shamanism and how in certain indigenous American tribes, they'll essentially simulate death to facilitate a spiritual transformational state in the person, and it's done in a way that it creates community cohesion and allows for a person to have a safe individuation with as little trauma as possible, or at least a controlled setting of trauma. So, but this, I mean, that's such a far cry from our modern world. So, how do you, as a practitioner of this, like approach a person who is in need of this kind of transformation, but maybe is still conditioned by our modern world to not even have the frame of reference for this kind of thing?
Yeah, so great question. I want to answer it in two parts. Firstly, to say that just like what alchemy is, like what are we even talking about, right? So in scientific terms, alchemy is the process of turning lead into gold. So you have this base structure, this base form of lead, right? Very dense. And then through a process of alchemy of like burning in a fire, literally, it transforms into a completely other entity of gold. So it's taking something dark and heavy and using fire, the alchemical fire, to turn it into gold. So something was this, and now it's an entirely different thing. So a butterfly is also another good example, which is why I said, so it's we've got a caterpillar, right? This is one entity. And then at the end, it's a butterfly, completely different entity. And the alchemy for the butterfly is like being in the goo, like literally their body completely changes shape into something else and then becomes another thing. So it's literally like transformation from one thing. You start at one thing, you burn in the fire, and you become the other thing. So this is what it like literally actually is. And so, in a spiritual lens, and as you said, there's shamanistic ways to do this. One thing that I find really beautiful and really telling is that all cultures, all like, ancient indigenous cultures have a way of doing this. And so, whether it's, South American, they'll use the ayahuasca plant, to create this alchemical process, the healers, which, by the way, originally, I don't know why I have to say this, but I do. Originally, the healers who were working with ayahuasca, the healee, the person receiving the healing, didn't even drink the ayahuasca. It wasn't about them having this high, okay? It was only the practitioner who, the healer who drank it. And then and then transmitted the experience to the person. It's only recently, because of the Western desire to have that psychedelic experience, that it's like this now. But anyway, so in all cultures we have these different, right? Some cultures they play the drum or other types of music to create this altered state where this can happen. But one thing that is across the board is that there's always some kind of thing to help the movement, right? Whether it's plants or music instruments or whatever, and then there's always a practitioner. So this is something that I would say, unless you're very, very skilled at a very high level and have been initiated, and even then, I don't recommend doing it yourself. Like, this is something we need to have a practitioner do and hold the space and facilitate for us, which is really important. And so it's a process of, and one thing that I say, and my teacher says, it comes from the lineage of the constellation work and the work that I do of spiritual healing, is it's a rite of passage. It's like you start here and you become someone else. Another way to describe alchemy is like it's the hero's journey. You start here and you go through this process of transformation and you become someone else. Now, so a part of this that's really important is this includes your shadow. This includes your shadow. This can often include the collective shadow. And you could say the shadow is an all-encompassing term. So this could be your own inner thoughts, your own pain, your own programming, your own traumas. It's usually can't be separated from the collective. You know, they're both of them are inside of us because we cannot be separated from that. And so moving through all of this, all of these things, and they have to be seen. And they have to be embraced. And if it's a part of you that needs healing, a fractured part, so a lot of us will have split offs or fractured parts from childhood or et cetera, these need to be seen and embraced back in, and the facilitator can support that. And then sometimes we'll also see other entities or other things that are not native to you and that need to be dealt with that are influencing you. So it's very, it's not a simple process. There's all these thing parts to it. But why a lot of people will freak out, or you'll hear about people having like negative experiences in these types of things if the facilitator is not skilled, is because they'll see these things. They'll see and experience this shadow or this trauma or this grief or these other entities who are influencing them or whatever. And without the proper space being held and the person knowing how to deal with these things as they're coming up in real time, it can be really scary. So it's really, really, really important, any kind of thing like this, that you're working with a very skilled practitioner who did not just take a weekend course online, okay, for a certification, but who has the deep skills and lineage so that they can support you no matter what is coming up. I met a guy once in San Diego who did an ayahuasca retreat in Northern California in the desert, and he freaked out during it, which sometimes happens, right? We have all this stuff that's buried very deeply inside of us that these things bring out. That's what they're doing. They're excavating. This is why a lot of people get sick, because it's like a purge, right? So you're vomiting, and it's the same kind of thing with everything that's been held in your psyche and in your soul. So he started freaking out. He was having a lot of issues with his eyes, his physical eyes. They weren't focusing. He ended up having an issue with his eyes for 3 years after this. His eyes wouldn't focus. And so it was like constantly like this for him. And they threw him out and they let him wander in the desert on ayahuasca because they didn't know what to do. And so he ended up recovering and he's fine now. But this is like a cautionary tale, because it's really, really, really important that you work, and not just with ayahuasca, but even without drugs, you know, or plant medicines or whatever, that you work with someone who really knows what they're doing and can really support you no matter what comes up, and isn't going to freak out and not know, because you can cause a lot of damage that way. So just having to say that it's really, really important to do that. But you also want to, there's also going to be space. Like when someone has a session with me, they get a email that says, you know, please leave time after the session to integrate and, you know, rest. And I don't want you to like, okay, now I'm going to go to my next appointment 5 minutes later. Like, this is a really big deal. And so it's going to be, different level of intensities depending what we need to do. But if you want to do this, you have to hold the space for yourself. So it's really important to be ready as well, and then to also have the integration process afterwards and move, because it can be alarming to go through a process and see all these things. And some people will have a recurrence of like a trauma that they had hidden away and not remembered or something like this. And so that's more like very, very intense, deep journeys that I'm talking about. But like a death and rebirth, an alchemical death and rebirth is that. And so, really, on some level, all forms of healing are alchemy if you're really doing it. And a lot of people will stop when they start to get to the shadow. Like, they're like, cool, I want to meditate. And then they'll start meditating and they're like, oh, why am I feeling so much pain? Why am I feeling so much grief? Why am I feeling so much anger? And they stop. And this is where you'll see a lot of people who be like, okay, wait, spirituality is evil. I felt, some demonic forces, and now I'm like a born again Christian. And so this isn't, you weren't seeing demons, you were seeing your own shadow start to come up. Because if you're going through your life, you're never gonna, nothing's ever gonna come up. But if you're like, okay, I'm sitting, I'm not looking at my phone, I'm not doing anything else, I'm sitting inside myself with myself for once, things are gonna come up. All the emotions that you've had during your whole life that weren't processed because you maybe didn't know how to process them, didn't have the tools, those types of things are going to come up in that process, and that's all part of the shadow.
Yeah.
Maybe that was too much information for one blurb. I don't know. Sorry.
No, never. No such thing on this show. The audience hates when I talk. They love when the guests go on and on and on. So,
I'm sure they don't hate when you talk.
no, you're great. No, don't even stress it. So, I love the response. I think that was a great answer. But now I'm kind of, I guess, again, thinking about myself, unfortunately. But you provoked a thought about like the shadow and like the alchemy of your life. I feel like at 30 years old, I've just kind of come to the end of my 30th year. I'm about to be 31 in 2 weeks. And reflecting on like the course of this podcast and where the show may go next, like, I'm just so uninterested in politics, and not to bring up, what happened with Charlie Kirk, because my heart goes out to anyone who's murdered, I mean, that's what that was. But yeah, it's something that I want to distance myself from. And I know that might be upsetting to the audience who wants me to go deep into some of those topics. And I might still go into those topics, but with a different mindset, because I feel like my shadow era, right? Like the time of my life where I was going through a very shadowy period, that was reflected in my interest in conspiracy theory and the political side of it. But I've always, I mean, to the point about, people reacting in such a way that they then go to like a dogmatic type of thinking. Like, that's another thing I've noticed with conspiracy theories. It's led a lot of people to dogmatic thinking in a direction that's really destructive. And that's not to say that people who entertain conspiracy theories are necessarily destructive, but I think it does lead to those paths. I mean, you see it particularly with anti-Semitism. And I know that's going to be another thing that people in the comments have, an issue with. But, we've done the episodes on Israel. We've done the episodes with Michael Hoffman, the man who they say is the biggest anti-Semite in the world, even though he's the sweetest old man I've ever had on the podcast. So it's like, I'm over all that stuff. I get all that stuff and I want to transcend that. So this is, yeah, again, maybe not necessarily leading you up for another great answer, but just my reflection on what you just said. And it's something I've been dwelling on lately. And I even considered doing like a solo podcast, which is something I don't think I've ever done for the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, I've had like multiple guests on, and I've done like segments where I'm just speaking monologue for less than a half an hour, but I've never done like an hour monologue. But I considered it because I wanted to talk about all the things that I've been thinking about lately that don't necessarily make their way into conversations with my guests. So, but
That
yeah.
might be something cool to do on your birthday
Yeah.
or around your birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, I have done similar things in the past. My ex-girlfriend, shout out to her. I know she listens to the podcast sometimes. She threw me a surprise birthday party, which ended up being an episode because it was with all my like podcast friends that she invited to do this birthday party for me, which was like the sweetest thing anyone's ever done for me. But yeah, that was definitely, I don't want to repeat that, but yeah, maybe we'll do something cool for my birthday. Thank you. Good idea. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. First and foremost, Brain Supreme, the number one microdosing team that's got your back. If you need the info to rest assured and know that you're getting the highest, purest quality psilocybin microdosing supplement backed with nootropic herbal blends that give you a full spectrum nootropical product that is going to give you the boost you need for any situation you find yourself in. I love Brain Supreme. I've shared it with friends. They love it. It's something that you can get yourself. Just use the promo code CRAZY like my friends did, and they ordered it to their home, and now they're microdosing on the next level. So check it out today. Promo code CRAZY to save at checkout. Don't forget, promo code CRAZY, CRAZY, at checkout to save now. Next up, we've got Vibe Med X. Let me tell you about Vibe Med X, folks. They rock, they roll. This is Shilajit, okay? And it literally comes from the rocks at some of the tallest mountains in the world, specifically in Russia. And this Shilajit is unparalleled. It's stuff that is going to give your body the building blocks it needs because it's an adaptogen. So it basically helps in ways that other supplements can't. And if you know what an adaptogen is, more power to you. If you're like me and you're not a doctor and you don't know and you can't recommend these things, go and look into it. It's definitely worth looking into. Or you can listen to my interview with Ron from Vibe Med X. He is the owner and founder of Vibe Med X. So go and check it out and use the promo code CRAZY to get yourself some Shilajit today. And that's that. We will be right back to this episode in a moment. We've got some dynamic ads coming up. And of course, if you're interested in supporting the show, hearing no ads whatsoever, sign up today at myfamilythinksimcrazy.com. Sign up today at patreon.com/mftic or myfamilythinksimcrazy.substack.com. Support the show, get the ad-free version of the show, and catch the show live. We're going live for the supporters only. When I do these interviews at a reasonable hour, they will be live, and we're doing one today if you're listening to this the day it comes out. So make sure you check that out on the Patreon. If you're listening to this when it comes out on the Patreon or the Substack, well, it's going to be tomorrow, but either way, we'll see you there, and we'll be right back in a moment. My family thinks I'm crazy. Family, let me tell you about my favorite, my personal favorite cannabis, Mood, M-O-O-D, created in 2002 as an online source for 100% federally legal cannabis grown on small pesticide-free American farms. Listen, folks, this is the good stuff made in America. Their gummies are action-packed, okay? I've had all the gummies. I've had all the gummies. None of them are the same. The Sleep Time gummies mixed with my Raw Optics red lenses, I'm in bed in 10 minutes. No hangover, no grogginess. I wake up, like that. Whew. Jumping out of my bed, standing up straight, and taking on my day. It's incredible. Try it out today. Use the promo code CRAZY and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code CRAZY. Let's go, folks. Let's do it. All right. My family thinks I'm crazy. I'm in the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy mood. Hey, everybody. This is Mystic Mark, the host of My Family Thinks I'm Crazy. And I got to pay my bills. So here I am compromising my integrity to tell you about Hims. And listen, you don't have to compromise your routine with Hims. You don't have to take time out of your busy schedule. Just do it all online from the comfort of your home. What are you doing? You're getting treated for erectile dysfunction. Why do you have erectile dysfunction? I don't know. Maybe there are other issues in your life that you should address first before going straight to pharmaceuticals. But if you're there and you've tried everything else and you really just want to make your lady happy, which I'm a guy, I get it, man. We got to make the ladies happy. That's how the life, that's how the world goes around. When women are happy, the world keeps turning. So get that edge you need in the bedroom with Hims. Use the promo code CRAZY at checkout. That's hims.com/crazy for your free online visit. hims.com/crazy to get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more. Visit hims.com/crazy. Here comes the fun part. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Doo-doo-doo. Thank you, Hims. Now I can go buy more weed and smoke it, stoner, dude. Just kidding. I'm literally paying my electric bill, my insurance bill. I'm dying over here. Support me on Patreon, patreon.com, for real, patreon.com/MFTIC.
A few things that I want to say based on what you said. I think that there's different pipelines people can go in. So like, let's say objectively, if you're listening to this podcast, right, you're aware that your soul has a mission. You're aware that your soul came to earth to do a thing. So ideally, you'd start here at one place and you'd go here at the end of your time on this earth, right? And then whether you come back or you do something else, you have, you're here now. So one of the reasons that coming to earth is such a great grace and blessing is because you can do so much soul growth in a short period of time. And that's just not possible in other places like it is here. So even though it's really hard because there's so many opportunities for soul growth. So this is like the maybe like ideal trajectory. What happens is a lot of people get stuck at one of the points. And so I think that that's can be very easy, can happen very easily when you get, when you awaken. Like there's a lot of traps that can pull you in because there are a lot of powers that be that don't want the soul growth and awakening. Because if everybody reached here, there wouldn't be all of these immense issues that we have in the world wouldn't exist anymore. Because if everybody focused on their own healing, the world would be healed. It's actually not that complicated. What happens is that people get stuck here. So for example, I won't say the name, but I know someone very, very, very big in the conspiracy theory world who I spent some time with, and I realized this person, first of all, was an alcoholic. Second of all, was one of the most unhealthy people in terms of like eating and drinking and things like this. And then also was doing zero inner work. You'll find this with a lot of people who are really big into conspiracy. They just go right there. They stay here. This is what they're all concerned about, all consumed with. And all the energy is going outward, right? blame. This person's doing this. These people are doing this. It's all blame. It's all outward. It's no inner work, no inner reflection. Now, that is very unbalanced, and your soul's not getting anywhere. You're not achieving anything. And by achieving, I don't mean outer achievements. I mean inner achievements. I mean the whole purpose of this life. And so people will often get really focused on that when they're like, oh my God, this happened a lot around 2020 during the pandemic. Okay, a lot of people awoke to like, wow, what's actually happening in here? What is going on? Who's in control? And so they went really deep, far down these conspiracy rabbit holes, and they just stood there. Now, that's really harmful, because then you're letting go of your own journey. And we must understand that if we're not doing the inner work on ourselves, nothing's going to change in our own life, and nothing's going to change in the world. I fully and wholly believe that the best thing that we can do for the world is work on ourselves earnestly. Because when you are working on yourself, you come to a point where you are joyful and happy and clear and connected. And so then you make good choices in the world. You do good things for other people. It inspires you to then do whatever is yours to do in the world, whether that's creating an organization, working for an organization, doing healing work in whatever way. There's billions of ways to do healing work, and they don't all have to do with saying you're a healer, right? You could be working at a grocery store and spreading light and spreading healing to so many people who need it. And this is causing a ripple effect. The butterfly effect is real. Everything that each one of us says and thinks and does is causing a ripple. If we could see in real time the effects of our thoughts, people would be very different. So if you are not actively working on yourself, you've lost the plot. You've lost the point. And a lot of people who are outside will think, no, that's selfish to work on yourself. And I understand that, because I used to think that too. When I was at some point on my journey, I was an activist. I was really interested in making change. But all the ways that I was doing it, marching and going to protests and all these things, they weren't doing anything. Nothing was happening. I was just angry, and I was spewing that anger everywhere. Okay. So I'm not saying that protesting is wrong. Maybe that's right for some people at some point on their journey. But there is a time where you understand that if you're not working on yourself, you're putting out hate into the world instead of healing. And so a lot of people get lost down conspiracy rabbit holes, and they stay there, and they stay in the hate, and they project the hate, and they facilitate, and they, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like they're perpetuating the hate. Okay. So it's really important, like, to have a healthy balance. Like, okay, wow, I know what's happening now. Actually, this isn't a conspiracy. It's true. And so now I'm just going to have that awareness, and I'm also going to do the work within myself to make it so that there is one less person holding hate in their heart, because that is going to provide more change than anything else.
This is so pivotal to, the entire anxiety that these people have. I mean, it's, yeah, you nailed it, really. This is something I've been thinking about a lot too. It's like when you hyper fixate on something, you create more of it. And,
Yeah.
I mean, I like to think that the universe has its own sort of T cells, right? Like, what are T cells in the body? They address, a virus as it enters the body, or something maybe harmful in the form of a bacteria, a foreign object, yada yada, right? Your body has a specific cell that addresses it. And, we as human beings, I mean, I don't know, I feel like sometimes we step outside of our realm of control mentally, and it just leads to like all of those things that
Yeah.
could be focused on healing, and they get like built up in other places. I mean, I'm not a biologist, so I or a physician for that matter, so I can't really speak to what going on in human anatomy, but just for analogy's sake, like, just makes me think like of a mismanaged ecosystem when we start to think like that, because we're all so hyperextended into other people's lives. We've gone outside of our own personal communities to the point where we're in this like hyper community, but it's mismanaged. So it leads to a lot of real issues on a bodily level, because we are beings that need to live in a community. We need to be a part of a small community. And that's not like tribalism, it's just the biological fact of our nature.
It's true. And one thing that I find really interesting is that so our nervous systems are not designed and cannot handle and have not evolved to be able to handle seeing a constant influx of information. So you're on your phone, you're scrolling on a social media app, you're seeing like, a puppy eating a treat. And then 1 second later, you're seeing kids starving and, in a genocide. And then 1 second later, you're seeing someone being shot. And then 1 second later, and like your brain, your nervous system cannot integrate that and take that in and process that. And you weren't designed to know things that are happening this far away from you. It's just not how our system works. And so, not only that, but you're not processing any of that information. And it's been shown in studies that we cannot process information while we're intaking new information. So, this is also another example of why when people start to meditate, they have a lot of pain come up, trauma come up, emotion come up, because finally they're stopping the input. You have to stop the input in order to do anything. So once the input stops, then you're able to process emotions. But this is why a lot of people will become like, almost everyone is addicted to their phones, right? We're dopamine addicted, but you're not able to process all that information and it's making you sick. It is affecting your body. It is affecting your cells and changing you. So you have to be able to. So I say, if you're check in with yourself and see how resourced you are before you go look at whatever, wherever you get your information. Check and see how resourced you are, because chances are you're looking for outside information because you're either bored, which no one should ever be bored. If you're bored, you're boring. I'm sorry. Like, being bored is not a thing that should ever be anyone ha should have. Or two, because you want to escape. So you're at work and you don't want to think about your job, or you're in a bad relationship and you don't want to think about that, or you're sad, you're mad, you're whatever, and you don't want to think about it. And so this is what you do. I'm looking at my phone. Okay. So this is an escape. And this is the same thing as going to a drink or a drug or sex or gambling or whatever. It's the same thing. It's escapism. It's I don't want to deal with this. And so it's not helpful. It's not healthy. So I just think I'm trying really hard to get people to break this addiction. And so I have a group container going right now called Vessel for Women. And one of their things that they have to do every day is spend 20 minutes of no input. So you're not listening to music, you're not listening to a podcast, you're not listening, you're not eating, you're not watching a movie, you're not looking at your phone, you're doing nothing. You're not even meditating. You're just doing nothing, no input at all. And your brain needs these stops, these times in order to do this. And you need to be, I think one of the greatest disparities of our time is that everybody is completely disconnected from their intuition, from their heart, from their inner knowing. And guess what? When you're disconnected to that, you are very, very easy to manipulate. So, if you're concerned about the powers that be doing evil things to us, there's one thing you should be doing: focusing on cultivating your inner knowing. Because then you will know immediately, oh, this is a psyop. Okay. Oh, that's not true. Oh, there's an alien invasion. That doesn't seem real to me. If you are hooked up to your intuition, which I would say 90% of the world is not, then you will know what's going on and you will know what you need to do. And what if there's no, they turn off the power grid? And what if there's no internet? And what if all these things? What are you going to do? run around like a chicken with your head cut off. You need to cultivate your inner knowing and your inner peace and your inner faith in whatever it is, even if it's just yourself, so that you have a peace of mind, because the world is not just gonna all of a sudden get better. I've been saying this for years, it's gonna keep getting worse, and it has. We're at a point where everything needs to get uncovered. The world is in an alchemical stage right now, and we're in the shadow. We're uncovering it. Oh my God, look at this. Every conspiracy theorist listening to this right now, by the way, I'm not saying that any of them aren't true. I would never say that because most of them are. But any conspiracy theorist listening to this right now, when you uncovered it, that was a part of alchemy. You're like, oh my God, I just realized this. Yeah, that's alchemy. You're in the shadow phase, the uncovering phase. After this comes the butterfly, comes the gold, comes the healing. But we're in the thick of it right now. And that's a lot. That's intense. So if there's one thing you need to have right now, it's a grounded connection to yourself. So if you're not doing any work to get you there, like, you shouldn't be focusing on anything else except that.
Yeah, it's very strange. I think there's something different about the people who are interested in growth and then the people that hyperfixate on one group or another, right? And I mean, this whole term conspiracy theory is so, I mean, it's just we should just abandon it. I mean, honestly, like
I
conspiracy
think so
theory
too, because
is all.
it was created to make people who were uncovering truth seem crazy. That's what the whole term was created for.
Right. Well, I know it's divisive and it leads people to be, defensive about their position and, and on both sides too, any type of open-minded thought that might be misconstrued as a conspiracy theory could be a conversation ender with certain people. And that's disappointing to me as an open-minded person because to me, I'm an open-minded person. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Like if you present a fact to me, then and it's proven as a fact, well, then it's a fact. It's not a theory. So what is all this theory stuff, right? Like I don't think the show reflects theories in some sense, but when there are theories presented, I think any critical thinker is willing and has the right to sort through it at their will, or just take it in. But that's the trouble. It's like so many people aren't critically thinking. So that kind of leads me to a question that you inspired in me, which is like, what do we say to younger folks who, I mean, whether that you're a parent or a teacher or somebody who just is around children, has an influence over children in any way, like it seems to me like they are being sort of, I don't know, like the attention span thing is kind of cliche because they were even saying that about our generation when we were growing up with the limited technology we had then, but still, it's just like TikTok and all this stuff. You kind of presented a great description of it earlier with like the explicit nature of what is available to these young minds. So like, yeah, where do you stand on that? Because I feel like from my perspective and from a lot of the perspectives we hear on the show, it's like you need to focus on yourself, right? You need to worry about yourself and heal yourself. But when you're a parent or when you're a teacher and you're responsible for the growth of others, like you're not just worried about healing yourself at that point, right?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. So I want to get into the answer, but before that, I just want to go back for one second to what we were just talking about. And you mentioned the divisiveness. And I just want to say that I think that was a really good point. And something for myself, I don't call myself, in anything. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm definitely not left wing. I'm definitely not right wing. I think, sorry, but those are two wings of the same bird. And I think that there's, If there's one thing I would really love to impart on people, it's to have conversations with your fellow humans without putting labels on who they are or what they believe, because as you said, can be such a conversation stopper. And it's like, I believe fully that the powers that be that want to control our thoughts and our world, their biggest ally to their goal is to divide us. And they're doing a great job of that. And every time I look at the comments section and anything that I follow on Instagram, I see this. People are just, you're a this and you're a this. And there's so much hatred. And every single person is a human, and we need to listen to each other and not just disregard everyone's thoughts, feelings, or opinions just because of their label that they give themselves. By the way, none of these labels were given to us by ourselves. They were our projections that were put on by people that want us to hate each other. But I don't believe that we actually do hate each other. I believe that we actually love each other and we all want things to get better. And I believe that everyone who's doing something bad thinks that they're doing something good. And so if we can open our minds and our hearts and listen to each other without pushing labels on it, like you're this and you're that, just listen to one another. That is how we're gonna come together and realize, like, you could have, I think of it like you're on your front lawn, you've got, blue and red arguing, and the thief is inside the house stealing everything in there. The thief loves that blue and red are arguing on the front stoop because he's got everything he needs, stealing everything inside the house. So think about that when you're arguing with someone online or in person or whatever, and you guys are both hating each other. Think about who's benefiting from that. Who's stealing everything in the house? Okay? No one is benefiting from hating each other. Okay? So I just wanted to say that. So about the parenting question, which is a great question. And also, it is hard to explain, but the point about focusing on yourself is not to be self-centered and not to be an egomaniac. And I think, again, as we talked about people stopping at the conspiracy and going down that hole, it can be the same thing with healing. And the ego loves to get hijacked by healing. And I think a lot of high-level healers who I see are absolutely, they started out really good and they got hijacked by entities who fed their ego. And this is when you see people doing sexually assaulting people or stealing money or whatever, because they're getting hijacked by these entities because they love the fame and they're feeding that. And so you'll see the same thing with, like, I call them spiritual fuckboys and like influencer women and stuff. And they're just like using all these spiritual language to talk about how wonderful they are and how everyone else is just like, unevolved and unenlightened. That's just all ego. So when you're really focusing on yourself truly in humility on a true path, you're not doing that. What you're actually doing is you're giving more than ever. I just got a message yesterday from one of my clients, and it was just so full of love. And her whole thing was like, I love how much you love us. I love how much you give to us and how much you do for us and teach us and awaken us. And that's me focusing on healing myself. That doesn't mean I'm sitting around all day thinking I'm so wonderful and beautiful. That means by focusing on healing my own heart and my own shadow, I'm then inspired to give. When you're full of love and you're empty of shadow, all you want to do is give to others and teach others and share with others and hold space for others. So the point of doing this is so that you can be happy and be good and peaceful to others. That's the point of doing it. So it's self-focus, so that you can be at peace and not freaking out in these crazy times, and that you can then give that to other people. And so, as a parent, you focus on that. So, like, think of a mom who's frazzled, who's been working all day and is so stressed out, and there's bills to pay, and there's food to be made, and there's all this stuff. And what can she give to her kids? A lot of us grew up with moms or dads like that, right? And maybe we didn't get a whole heck of a lot. Maybe nobody paid attention to us or listened to our feelings or our thoughts or whatever. And so, it's, almost 2 a.m. for you. It's almost 2 p.m. for me. So my students are all mostly in the U.S. some in Europe and Australia. But anyway, I just got a message before we hopped on from a student who is a mom, and she is, works and takes care of her kids. And she was like, I came home and I was so frazzled and so anxious. And I just sat and did my sadhana, my practice. And now I'm just full of peace and I'm, making meal with my kids and blah, blah. This is why we do it. So it's not selfish. You're not taking away from your kids. You're able to give from a resourced space. It's like filling your own cup so that you can then pour that overflow out to everyone around you. So that's what it is. It's not a selfish thing. Okay. So I have had someone who came to me and was like, I really want to do a session with you. She had a type of apparent cancer. She's like, I really want to do a session with you. And I'm like, great, let's do it. And she's like, I can't leave my kids. I'm like, well, why would you leave your kids? And she's like, no, to do the session. And I'm like, you can't take an hour out of your life to have a session to heal your cancer so you can live for your kids? That's insane to me. And I see this kind of behavior a lot. And her whole thing was like, I have to sacrifice all of myself. And I'm sorry, but that is selfish. To not take an hour for yourself so that you can receive a healing that might save your life, so that you can be a mom to your kids. So there's a huge distortion here with this type of thing. So that's the first thing I want to say about that. The second thing is how to actually parent. Well, number one, do what I just said, take the time for yourself so that you can be a resourced, good parent. Number two, listen to your children. Instead of just thinking about, well, what am I going to say? How am I going to explain this? Listen. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to their feelings. Listen to their thoughts. They're extremely intelligent. They're extremely intuitive. The most intuitive people on this earth are children. They're the closest to source, the closest to the other side. And a lot, as the younger they are, the more they haven't been beat over the head with programming. So they have a lot to say. They know how they feel. Listen to them. Listen to their feelings and their thoughts and their emotions and ask them how they're doing. Ask them how they're feeling. Ask them what they think about this and that. Then, when they ask questions for you, answer them honestly. Tell them the truth. If you don't know, tell them, I don't know. What do you think? And I'll say also that I feel that shepherding our children is the most important thing that we can do. They're the ones that are going to inherit the earth, and we need to support them. Another thing is think about your own childhood. What did you not have that you needed? And give that to them. For me, I was completely neglected. No one ever talked to me. No one ever listened to me. No one ever asked me if I was okay. When I wasn't okay, everyone ignored me or told me I was bad and wrong. So for me, if I had children, I would focus a lot of my energy on giving them that which I never had and letting them, speak, listening to them, things like that. And then if I had, I'm not a parent, so, I can only say what I would do and what I advise my clients with children, but I would not let my children have a phone until it was absolutely necessary, like they're driving and they're 16 and that type of thing. And even then, I would not let them have access. I follow an account on Instagram, which I recommend if you're a parent. It's called Scrolling to Death, and it's this mo it's account for parents. But I have a lot of clients with parents, and I love children, and so I'm, informed as well about these types of things. And the amount of, I don't know what I can say that's not going to get like blocked, but the amount of inappropriate behavior going on with children online is totally not okay. She has a great video where she talked about where she shows she just made a TikTok account as a like 12-year-old girl, and within like the first 6 minutes, everything that came into her feed naturally from the algorithm was all about self-harm and that she should kill herself. And this is the type of thing that's being put on our children. We've seen teens commit suicide from AI, from bullying. There's, the child pornography, the sex trafficking. It's heinous, and it's not just ideas. It's true and it's real and it's happening. And so I would have my kid play outside, and I don't care how much they hate me, they're not having a phone. They're not playing Roblox, which is very toxic and has caused children to be abducted and harm themselves and things like that. So I think that's really, really big. If you are letting your kids have phones or play these games, you need to be informed. So follow this account and others like it. And It's there's nothing else to say other than heinous what's happening to the children, and they need to. There's studies from MIT a few years ago coming out that were saying that adolescents don't know how to relate to each other, and they can't comprehend body language. They can't read body language because they're all just looking at their phones all day. So they're not able to even interact with each other. And they're literally inside, I think we talked about this before, they're inside the digital field, the digital matrix. They're not in the earth field. They're not even really present in their body on the earth. And that's not just a theory, like that's actually what's happening with them. And so have your kid go outside and play outside. And, I personally, you're asking me all these things, so I'm just telling you what I would do. I wouldn't send my kids to school either. I wouldn't send them to like an indoctrination camp. I would send them, my friend has a daughter who's in like a forest school. And they do like teaching outside where they play in the woods and they learn that way. And so that's the type of thing that I would do probably because of course not everyone can homeschool if you're working or whatever. But I would say the number one thing is listen to your kids, listen to them.
Yeah, I don't have children either, but I would agree that when I do have children one day, that would be something I think would work, and I'd encourage to try that if you do have kids. Try listening to your kids to a point. I mean, kids do have wild ideas and crazy things they say. So, but yeah, it is good advice nonetheless to consider how you felt when you were a child and then go from there. But yeah, we don't all have perfect parents, so that's the tough line I think with that particular topic is, some people have trouble breaking that chain of trauma, and that's another, I guess, segue back to our main topic, which is this transformative death rebirth experience. I mean, I imagine, the life you knew as Jaya, now the life you're stepping into as Jada, like there's a break in that chain potentially. And I'm curious if you think, someone listening to this might maybe get the impression that, oh, well, I'll just change my name and do some things and I'll be different. Is that what you recommend? I don't think it's that flippant. I think there's a lot that went into what you did, but still, I'm curious, like, just taking that one piece away from it, do you think like a name is significant enough to where when you change it, your life can change significantly? Like, is it that simple? Can it be?
No, it's absolutely not that simple. And I didn't intend to change my name, and it wasn't something that I did or decided to do. It was given to me as a part of my rebirth process when I was doing the very deep work internally. It was just a part, like the it was the culmination of that after I had completed that. And that was a gift from God, from the universe, from my teacher. It wasn't my intention to change my name, definitely not. So I think that really there's two answers. One is that no, you can't. I mean, like what an easy way out to be like, I'm just going to change my name and then everything will be different. Like, of course not. No, we never can, get out of something that easy. I think if you want to do anything, you need to do some healing and see someone really good, myself or someone else. If you don't resonate with me, see someone who you resonate with for a healing session. And my healing sessions are not just like a little bit of something. It's a deep work, and so it's a deep transformation. And so I would say, also, I just want to say I also work with children, and so I've had really beautiful results with children, and working to break those cycles and things are really important from the ancestral field. And sometimes children can really benefit from the work as well, has happened with me in my case, working with children. The other thing is, while I don't think it's ever as simple as doing something like changing your name and then everything changing, at the same time, the frequency of your name is important, and it is something that can and does have an effect because it's shifting things, especially if you change it legally. Like you are stepping into becoming a new entity, but there's also work that goes into that. Like, I let go of Jaya in a lot of ceremonial and ritual ways, and I asked that my new name be blessed, and also in ceremonial ways as well. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm this now. It was a lot of, and I think intention has so much to do with it. But if you're ritualizing it, and in terms of the name itself, yeah, our names absolutely have frequency. Your name can have bad luck. Your name can be cursed. Your name is an energetic signature, and it carries a frequency. So it absolutely is something that if you feel deeply called to change, you can. Or, in my case, like I said, it was my teacher, and it was a part of this whole process. So I wouldn't just do it. But if you feel deeply called, or you feel deeply called to ask someone to give you a new name, I have a client who I was given a new name for her. I still haven't told her yet because I'm waiting until the time is right. But I mean, it's something that can change. And if you're doing deep work in your life, you can absolutely become another person, another entity, another version of you. And so a new name would make sense for that.
I do feel like calling myself Mystic Mark on the podcast has brought in a different personality or a set of personality traits that were dormant. But yeah, it is something that I was sort of half serious about asking you, but I'm glad I asked because yeah, I have the intuition that if it's done right, it could be their step in the right direction for someone. And I'm sure, I've had other people on the podcast who, whether doing it legally or not, they're not telling me their real name, and that's fine, that I think that's a big part of it. What, especially the world we live in now, like, being a little bit protective about your identity is a good thing. So, yeah, it's very interesting though. So, aside from healing and doing that self work in order to grow, what do you recommend in the way of ceremony? Because again, going back to your statements about ayahuasca earlier, like, a lot of people tend to associate, psychedelics with these deeper states of consciousness, but those aren't necessarily required. You can access deep, deep parts of yourself, maybe even deeper parts of yourself, completely sober. So, yeah, what do you recommend as far as ceremony for those who are maybe a little bit more adept and are in the process of doing that healing work but want to transform?
So I believe that the only time that we should work with plant medicines are if they call us. Literally, they deeply call you. The entity and frequency of a plant itself will call you when you need to work with it. And I think other than that, I don't think you should. That's just my personal opinion. I've had people write testimonials and say to me, working with you was like doing a plant ceremony, but without the plants, and that they really appreciated that because there can be a lot of anxiety coming up with that. And, there's a lot of process. Of course, things can go. You can have a harmful or like a bad trip, quote unquote, or a difficult experience and things like that. So I've had people say that. And, what I can recommend for people who really want to move into ceremony is to come see me. And I will also often, every person is different. And so sometimes I'm sitting with someone and there is a plant coming through and saying, hey, let them know I want to work with them and in this way, or, an herb or a type of food or a type of practice. And I'll let them know, or I will I have a lot of rituals and a lot of ceremonies in my belt. And so either I will do it for them or I'll recommend them and teach them how to do it for themselves as a personal practice. So I can't really say like a blanket statement for everyone because everyone is different and they're all on a different part of their journey. So I would say come see me for a session and whatever needs to happen at that time will absolutely happen. In terms of just personal practice, I would say, again, it's very, people come, I have clients from all over the world and they all have a different feel. Everyone has a different field of what they're carrying and their lineage and what they need. And so it's very, there's no one size fits all answer. It's very specific to them and what they need at that time. I would say generally go with your lineage and, start simple, light a candle, light an incense, ask for support, ask for protection. Ask for what you need, if you don't want to work with someone or you can't, I would just start where you are. And every single person should have a meditation practice. And so even just 20 minutes a day will support. I just think it's hard for me to recommend that people do things without a teacher because there's so, especially nowadays, there's so much energy, not to scare anyone, but there's just so much energy that's not great that's lurking around that wants to that can be not the best. So it's really important to have a really grounded practice where you are safe and supported in your work. So I just really recommend working with a teacher. And for me, it's been the best investment I've ever made is working with teachers and healers, and it's exponential. I mean, you could shave literally decades off of your journey, off of the difficulty of your development if you're working with a teacher. And so I always work with a teacher, and I always recommend that everyone do too. So whether it's myself or someone else that you feel more called to, if you're really serious, I think, for me, I've worked with teachers when I couldn't afford anything else. And I was like, well, I'm going to do this instead of buying groceries this week. And I don't regret it because that served me more, So I think it's really depends on your goals. But especially, I had someone come to me and she was like, I can't really afford the session, but I'm just going to do it anyway because I really am having money issues. And I heard, you can help with that. And so the very next day, someone handed her several thousand dollars. And shortly thereafter, she got her dream job. So it's like, if you, it's kind of like a catch 22, like, oh, I can't really, do it. But the movements are such that for me, that's kind of when I am in between a rock and a hard space, or I really need something in my development, that's what I do. So that's what I can recommend. Is to see someone good. Make sure that you resonate with them, that you feel good with them, and that they're good.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who aren't good.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think you are a great source for anyone who's seeking facilitating healing of any variety, because it's not a one size fits all, as you put it. It's something that's different for everybody. So, yeah, I completely concur. People shouldn't go about this alone. It's easier with some guidance. And if you're stubborn like me, who knows, maybe your guides will find you. Maybe I wasn't stubborn, I just didn't know where to look, and probably looked in the wrong places until I wasn't looking in the wrong places. So it takes time, and mentors, healers, teachers, they sometimes come in forms that you would never expect. Like for me, someone who I've mentioned on the show dozens of times, my mentor, Amos. I mean, my parents, they were afraid. They were like, oh my gosh, you're friends with a homeless person. But I learned a tremendous amount from him. And shortly after becoming friends with him, he housed himself and got a job and became, a person with a home instead of an unhoused person. So, yeah, it was an interesting, friendship for sure. I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I have talked to him since the podcast started. So that was cool to tell him about that. But yeah, he was very, I think I mentioned the fact that my friend told me about these like shaman rebirth, you know, that's him, Amos. So yeah, anyways, I think it's something that our culture, as far as Western civilization goes, we're lacking rites of passage. And what you're
Yeah. Oh,
describing
absolutely.
to me is that.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. And I think a lot of people feel like they don't have lineage and they don't have, there's something missing. A lot of people feel like there's something missing. And it's because our culture doesn't have that. And we're very cut off from our lineage. You know, a lot of people didn't grow up having a lot of family around them or hearing the stories of the lineage. And so there's sort of this sense of like floating in space and not really having anything behind you or pushing you forward. And so that is something that's very, very powerful about the work is we can bring that back in for your moving forward. And those transformations are extremely beautiful. And so I've seen people, yeah, their whole life change from receiving that and bringing that in, and this sense of something I hear a lot is like, I finally feel like myself. I don't know how to explain that, but I feel like myself. And I think that that's, you know, I'm not going to teach you to be anything else. I don't want you to be anything else. We need you. Every single one of you, we need you to be you because you were born to be you, not the copy of me or Mystic Mark or anyone else, but you. And everybody needs to do that. And so I know what it's like to not feel like yourself. And it's not a good feeling. And it just like something is off. And so I completely agree that our culture is really lacking the rite of passage and the lineage. And so getting that restored and putting that in is something that's absolutely huge for the life.
Well, Jada, I think we're about the end of my energy level. The time difference, of course, is not easy. So I appreciate you joining me midday for you, mid past midnight for me. But I think that was that's fair considering I'm a night owl anyways. But I don't want to take up any more of your day. I'm sure you have things going on. But before we put an end to this episode, please tell folks about the new containers you're planning and these group teaching moments. I don't, I, you used the term container. I've never heard that before, and I'm having trouble putting it in my own
Oh,
sentence.
really?
But yeah, no, I've heard other like practitioners of different sorts use the same term, but I'm just, it's not in my normal vocabulary. But yeah, so tell the folks about what you're offering, and then, of course, where they can connect with you if they want a one-on-one session.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me in the middle of the night, Mark. And right now there's a group container with women that's already started. We already had our first session. However, if you feel very deeply called to that, you can reach out to me and you can still join. That's a 3-month container. It's called Vessel, and it's for the woman who is giving all of herself to everyone else and doesn't know how to receive and needs to reconnect with her own dreams and heal and learn how to receive and open up to that. I'm also going to be teaching ritual and real manifestation techniques in that, which I think a lot of the manifestation that techniques that are taught are total BS. So that's what we're doing in Vessel. One-on-one, you can work with me with a healing session slash constellation session. You just book that via my booking link, which will be in the link that Mark will have in here. And those are the rites of passage. They're quite beautiful. And if you want to do more like rebirthing work, I would recommend getting a Trinity package, which is a package of three. And then we'll have the space to do all three of those. And you save like $209 when you book it that way. And then I also do oracle work, which I believe we talked about last time, but which is sort of my version of a psychic reading, which you come with your questions, and not only do I give you the answers, but the healing comes through the session during the answers to shift things in your life and provide new movements forward. So those are the options for one-on-one sessions. And then my mentorship program called Sacred Light Temple, which is a mystery school. Sessions are opening this October, so starting in a couple of days, I'm having some spots opening for that. That's the biggest and deepest work that I have, and that's the where the very, very powerful transformational ongoing work happens. We work for 3 or 6 months, and we work through every single aspect of your life to bring healing and regeneration and mentorship. It's really very special and beautiful. So those are the ways to work with me, either one-on-one or in a group. And yeah, I think that's it. Oh, you can find me on Instagram, Immaculata Healing.
Jada, Victoria, always a pleasure to speak with you. And thank you again. I hope I nailed your name. I think I nailed it when I was muted, but I don't know. Now I feel like I messed it up.
You nailed it. It was perfect. And thank you so much for having me again. And thank you for all to all the listeners. Thank you for listening to this and for your willingness to listen and to transform. We need you all on our team.
Yes. I think that's the main takeaway for me is that, you know, the healing needs to be done within before we can entertain what's going on. And I think, honestly, it unfolds itself. Like, once you start to do those necessary steps within, the world around you aligns to that, you know? And I think that's the real trick that a lot of people miss, and then they get hung up on like creating their own misery, you know, and you get so lost in that that you can't even remember how it started. So, yeah, Jaya, blessings to you for doing the work you do and helping facilitate these transformations. And I really hope my audience connects with you, the wonderful people that choose to listen to this show. If I can even call them my audience, you know, all these crazy people that feel crazy and then see the name of the show and they say, oh my gosh, someone finally understands me. So, yeah, shout out to all of you. I love you all. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, that was our conversation with Jada Vittoria, which some of you keen listeners may have noticed that's formerly Jaya Simrit Kaur, who joined us on the show twice already. So this is the third time having Jada on the show, just now by their new name. But either way, very cool conversation. I like Jada's energy. I know people are always like, oh, you know, get this guest on, get this guest on. I need recommendations more than ever. You know, having the same people on is mostly just because I'm connecting with them and I feel like they have more to share with me. But yeah, I would like to diversify the audience and the guests. So if you have any recommendations, I'd love to hear them. I obviously am going to prioritize recommendations from the people on the Patreon and the Substack, but you can always send me a message on Instagram as well. And that is the best place to reach me at My Family Thinks I'm Crazy on Instagram. Shout out to everybody listening to this episode. Maybe some of my new friends I made this summer. All sorts of amazing people. Maybe some people that'll be on the show one day. Maybe not. Who knows? But either way, I've got some really interesting guests on the way. So look forward to that. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now.